read and hear more about important news, events, and public policy debates at ncnewsline.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. As is the case in most of the U.S., North Carolina's child care system is not what it should be. Across the state, thousands of child care providers operate in almost perpetual crisis, a crisis in which barely making it schools employ overworked and grievously underpaid teachers to serve stressed-out parents who have enormous difficulty finding quality care they can afford. And while a big influx of federal aid during the pandemic helped stabilize this fragile and threadbare system somewhat, that money is scheduled to run out in June. So where do things stand? What will happen if no replacement funds are found? And what can state lawmakers do to fill the gap? Recently, I got a chance to discuss these questions with a pair of experts, Child Care Resources, Inc. President Janet Singerman and Charlotte area child care provider Rhonda Rivers. Well, Janet Singerman and Rhonda Rivers, welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
I want to talk about this recent survey that really describes, I think you can only describe it as a crisis situation for childcare in North Carolina. Janet, your organization that you co-lead, the North Carolina Child Care Resource and Referral Council, conducted this survey that basically looked at what's going to happen when this shutoff in federal dollars takes place. We've got these American Rescue Plan monies that have been flowing for a while, but they're drying up. What's going to happen in North Carolina if somebody doesn't step in and fill that gap?
Well, the crisis that we're already experiencing in childcare in North Carolina is going to worsen. What we found through the survey was that 3 in 10 childcare programs expect to close if there aren't replacement funds for stabilization grants, which have really propped up the industry throughout the pandemic and continue to prop up compensation of those who work in childcare programs. Because as you know, childcare compensation is abysmally low. Before the pandemic, it was about $12 an hour. With the pandemic and stabilization supports, it's risen to about $14 to $15 per hour, $2 to $3 per hour on average statewide. And that's not going to cut it with the wage inflation that is going on across all industries. So we're going to have programs that close. We're going to have programs that reduce their classrooms and have to combine their classrooms because we're having staffing crises because of compensation. And then there are other factors that we found through the survey as well, because beyond closing or closing classrooms or combining classrooms, all because of staffing issues, there are going to be further cost-cutting measures which could also impact quality. Childcare, fragile economics have worsened. And unless we are able to secure replacement funding from the federal government or from our state government or from the private sector or combination of all, our current childcare crisis, which is really difficult for all those who rely on and deliver childcare, is going to get worse.
Rhonda, talk to us about what this means in schools like Leaf Springs Schools. And what's it been like? What's going to happen if this funding dries up?
Well, Rob, I tell you, first of all, Janet explained it beautifully. That is our painful reality. And it's very concerning and disturbing to think that the eyes that need to be made aware of this, that they aren't leaning into it or really don't understand the full gamut of, first of all, the value of having childcare in place, first of all, for the children and the investment that we need to make in our youngest citizens, but also so that parents can get back to work and have some peace of mind. What it has looked like, I'm very fortunate. I work for a chain of high quality schools that typically are waitlisted, have classrooms that all have waitlist. And now we have classrooms that aren't open because we have been unable to secure teachers. We're finding that it's more difficult than it was before the pandemic. This has always been a bit of a struggle because we have always been at the bottom, unfortunately, of where we need to be as far as compensating teachers as professionals. We've always been behind the ball in that. And now it's been even more challenging. So people are even more reluctant. Potential candidates are even more reluctant to enter this field. And the needs have increased, but the compensation hasn't supported it. We have been able, with the stabilization grants only, to keep our doors open and to be able to provide safe and high quality environments. But we have been meeting on a regular basis to find out what this looks like if those funds don't get replaced and if we don't continue to get that support. I'm concerned I'm concerned for our teachers. I'm concerned for the children. As I mentioned, and Janet, she mentioned quality, because it's not about just having some place to drop their kids off, but it's also about making sure their needs are met. Since the pandemic, we've seen a social, emotional, mental crisis in early childhood. I've said time and time again to people who will listen that mental needs and issues don't start at 18 and 19 and 20. We see the need to make sure that we are cultivating and providing those supports early on. And the funding that we have in place now allows us to be able to provide a little bit additional supports and be more intentional about meeting the needs of children. But we can't have overcrowded classrooms. It's not safe and it doesn't equate to quality. So again, we are able to keep the doors open. And again, and that is under capacity. And that main issue with that, where we're seeing that main issue coming where we can't open the classrooms, is because we're having a very difficult time recruiting and maintaining teachers in the classroom.
Janet, talk to us about the scope and scale here. I'm not sure people realize how many slots, how many centers we're really talking about here. This is a massive number of places that are in jeopardy if this funding is not somehow found.
So we're looking at both child care centers and family child care homes. Those are licensed programs that operate in a provider's own home. But the numbers are this: 1,535 programs expected to close. That's about 29% of our programs. That equates to just under 89,000 slots, rounded up. Right. We're talking about 89,000 spaces for children in childcare programs. Fees, based on our survey findings, are going to increase from 13 to 17%. So for infant toddler care, we're seeing about a 14% weekly increase in fees. Yeah. For preschool children, 3 to 5 year olds, about a 13%. And for school age children, about a 17%. So what does that mean on a statewide average by the numbers? That means that across all programs, so this is a North Carolina across all programs average, it wouldn't be the number that I'd give you for Mecklenburg County, but across all programs in North Carolina, for infants and toddlers, the fees on average are $11,440 right now. They'd increase to about $13,000 for an infant or toddler. For a preschooler, that's a 3 to 5 year old, right now they're about $10,400. They'd increase to $11,700. And for a school-ager, from $7,800 to $9,100. So childcare will become less affordable for families. And that places families in a really difficult situation as they're trying to navigate earning a living and making sure that their children are well cared for. The cost is already prohibitive for many families, low-income families in particular, and middle-income families as well. And it will just rise that more. And at the same time, while costs and fees and tuition will increase, there will be other cost-cutting measures that are necessary because of the need to replace those stabilization grants. And so those costs, we're concerned, could actually impact the quality of care out there. Food costs, for example, other staffing in your programs, in childcare programs, in centers particularly, it's not just the classroom teachers. There are other teachers that are involved, and Rhonda might want to speak to what rounds up the entire childcare center. So programs are going to look to cut hours of work, may have to cut salaries. If they have to cut salaries, how will they retain and or recruit new staff? And supplies and materials costs are also going to be impacted. You know what, from 60 to 85% of a childcare program's budget is the cost of personnel. We have wage inflation that is rampant everywhere, but childcare can't pass on those costs to families because families are really struggling to afford the cost of quality childcare now. And so that leaves families in a difficult situation. It also leaves employers in a difficult situation because we already have a workforce shortage. We have about 42 workers for every available jobs in North Carolina now. Our birth rates are declining. Our level of female participation in the workforce has been flat for about 20 years. And so employers are struggling also with workforce shortages, and the lack of available childcare is yet another barrier to workforce participation. So this has a ripple effect for families served, for children served, for our childcare system, and for all those who rely on our childcare system, including our employers across the state and our economy.
Rhonda, talk to us about your workers, how they're managing. They've already got incredibly difficult jobs. They're not well compensated as they should be. Are they aware of this impending crisis? Are people concerned? I mean, they've got children of their own to take care and worry about.
Absolutely.
Some of those practical impacts.
They are well aware because, unfortunately, they are required to work additional hours. And so their days are long. As I mentioned, the work is more exhausting, even though there is a love and a passion for the children and their families. And this is your heart's work, right? But they have, many of them are working moms. They have children of their own. The funds that we have available now has allowed us to be able to get several of our teachers qualify for subsidized childcare. And so it's those supports, having that funding, that allows them to be able to come to work and to save some money in their paycheck because they need to have their own children and childcare. But it's been really daunting and stressful because we don't have the relief workers that we would normally have to give them more breaks, to say, you know, we're asking them to work beyond their 8 hours. And that's really difficult when you're going home to your own children and you need to come back relieved. I tell them all the time, I said, we don't work for Wells Fargo. We don't work for Amazon. We're not able to push boxes to the side or to look at files at a later date. We have to be present mentally, emotionally, and physically every day. And we have to make sure those numbers represent numbers where children can be safe while they're in care. So that doesn't change. The ratios are the same and they need to be the same because safety is critically important. But in addition to that, it's been challenging because we don't have the relief workers. When I'm sharing with my administrators, what can we do? We've instituted what we have is we have mental self-care days where teachers are really at a breaking point. They can call us and say, I just can't do it today. You know, it's just been so draining. My own life is happening, but it's really difficult because many of them can't afford their own bills. They're giving everything to this workforce and we're not giving back to them. I've said before, Rob, I said, I think it is irresponsible. And I'm going to be very strong in saying this. If we don't receive support from our legislators, because this issue in itself, it impacts every aspect of our community. It's our children. Our investment is the workforce. And I'm not just talking about our teachers, but we're talking about their parents having the ability to show up and make a living for their families. So I find it financially and irresponsible in an inhumane way to say, what is it that we need to make sure you can get to work to feed your families, but also to take care of the people that are keeping your children safe and providing a quality and a safe experience so that we can resolve issues that we have down there. It's an early investment. But not only is it an early investment, it is a needed investment for this present time more than we've ever seen before. You know, I'll just share this one example and I shared, my son had surgery the other day on his hand. Coincidentally, when we got to the operating room, his surgeon was one of our parents. And I looked at him and I said, I'm so grateful for you. And he said to me, it's because your doors are open that I'm able to be here to perform this surgery. And we're grateful for you. And that's important. So we're working really hard. They know it because we're telling them, hold on, we're trying to find staff. Hold on. You know, we're hoping to be able to give you a schedule that's more amenable, that doesn't have you exhausted every day, that makes sense for the wages that you're getting. So we're calling on these companies and businesses of our parents to make sure that they reach out to their legislators and for them to also be more of a voice to support us in this, because they've said to us time and time again, we need you there. We need you present. We need to make sure that you're okay. And I need to make sure that their ears are open and understand that we all have a responsibility here. This isn't a want. This is an absolute need. And we have to do our part to make sure that we don't make this crisis even greater than it is now.
We're coming to the end of our time with Rhonda Rivers, who's the regional director for Leaf Spring Schools. That was Rhonda you just heard from. And Janet Singerman, who's president and chief executive officer of Child Care Resources, Inc. and co-leader of the North Carolina Child Care Resource and Referral Council. So, Janet, what specifically do we need the General Assembly, the North Carolina General Assembly that comes back into session in late April, to do to avert this crisis in our state?
During the last session of the General Assembly, bipartisan legislation was introduced to replace, to sustain stabilization funds. It was a $300 million ask for one-year continuation money. It unfortunately did not make it into the budget. We are hoping and asking for that support again this year. So $300 million for replacement money for stabilization grants, for the compensation component of stabilization grants. I hope will be the ask. We have yet to see the governor's budget. The legislature has not yet started the short session, but we're hoping for that kind of support at a minimum to maintain stabilization grants. There are other priorities. We have a childcare subsidy market rate, reimbursement rate, what providers are paid to serve children of low-income working families that has not kept pace with the cost of care. So there may be some additional asks there, but our first priority is to maintain stabilization grants for another year. And that's a $300 million ask.
And we might add that that sounds like a lot of money, but in the context of the entire North Carolina state budget, it's a drop in the bucket. And it's something that they have.
I will also just add that the North Carolina Chamber of Commerce did a survey last May and found overwhelming bipartisan support across the political spectrum within each party, even for the state to act, to invest in childcare, to preserve and enhance this system for all those who rely on it.
We're so glad advocates like both of you are out there speaking the truth. There's lots more we need to do in this realm. It's not like we have a Cadillac system now that we're trying to hold on to. We need to do a lot more to improve this system, but at least in the immediate term, this is an incredibly important cause. We thank you both for your work. Rhonda Rivers is Regional Director for the Leaf Springs Schools. Janet Singerman is the co-leader of the North Carolina Child Care Resource and Referral Council and CEO and President of Child Care Resources, Inc. Thank you both for your incredibly important work. And hopefully the next time we chat, we can talk about a big success in the 2024 legislative session.
Let's hope so. Thanks so much, Rob.
That's the goal. Thank you, Rob.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncnewsline.com. You can also listen to all of our interviews and commentaries wherever you get your podcasts. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views, a weekly look at state news, events, and public policy debates produced by North Carolina Newsline. Visit them online at ncnewsline.com.